Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Our focus is going to be in the first 12 verses, but we'll read the entire chapter. This is God's Word. "Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust, like the heathen who do not know God. And in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. As I said, our focus this morning is going to be in the first 12 verses. And I want to remind you of what we said last time as we looked at the previous chapter, and that is God calls us to be holy. And we see that restated again in chapter 4 and some amplification and illustration of what that means. So let's look at these verses together. "Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living." He says, "I'm writing to you to remind you of what we've already told you and to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, only to do it more." It would be a little bit like somebody who's a trainer in a gym, and he has a person he's working with who is already doing the exercises, following the routine, making progress, showing evidence of fitness, and you come along and you say, "Okay, it's not you're doing this wrong, you're doing it right. but you need to keep doing it. And as you keep doing it, you're going to find you can do more and more. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, and he's not telling them, you guys are all messed up, you're doing this all wrong. He's saying, you're doing it right, but don't get satisfied there. Don't think that because you're doing the right thing, there's no growth left. Hey, yeah, I already know that. No, you need to do this more and more. And so it will always be a challenge. And God, who is in the process of conforming us to the likeness of his Son, if we're saved, wants us to grow, wants us to learn, wants us to develop. And in order to get us there, God will add exercises. God will add weight. God will add challenges. Things will become more challenging and, with practice, easier. The Thessalonians are an example for us. If you are in Christ Jesus and you're doing the right thing, you need to do it more and more. You don't get to the point where you've arrived. All of us are always on a journey. And so we need to, if we're doing the right thing, do it more. And what is the right thing? Living your life in order to please God. I made 2 pots of coffee at my house yesterday. I don't drink coffee. I don't have anything against it morally. I would love to be able to enjoy coffee because I see the intense pleasure that it gives to other people. My wife loves coffee. My sons love coffee. My daughter enjoys coffee. I can't. But I made 2 pots of coffee at my house yesterday. Why did I do that? Because I love my wife. And so if you love someone, you want to please them. And our love, above all else, is supposed to be for the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And therefore, live a life that pleases him. Do what he wants.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Please notice that. He says, we've already told you what you're supposed to do, and I want to remind you that what we told you is by the authority of the Lord Jesus. And those who reject this teaching, verse 8, those who reject this instruction don't just reject man, but God. So what he's going to remind the Thessalonians of in these verses, verses 3 and following, are instructions from God. And if you think you can just set this aside, this doesn't really apply to me, it's no big deal, you're not just setting aside the word of the Apostle Paul, you're setting aside God's word. Tragically today, in this country, many people who call themselves evangelical Christians have set aside some of the things that God says. Because, well, that, you know, Paul said that. I read a thread this morning. Somebody tried to get me back into it. I decided I do not have time to punch that tar baby. But I want you to understand, in this thread, it's a bunch of graduates and staff and professors from a supposedly evangelical college talking about the fact that that college is under scrutiny right now as to whether or not they're going to maintain their accreditation because they have a policy, not only for staff but for students, that says marriage is between a man and a woman and sex outside of marriage is a sin. And that is considered to be very unloving and unchristian by people who hate God and despise his word and think that they know better. And one of the nitwits who was writing, and I'm being kind, said, I want to remind you that Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. Okay, let me remind you that this is God's word. And let me further remind you that when Jesus was asked about divorce, his answer covers homosexuality, adultery, fornication, and everything else having to do with our sexuality. He said, the reason you're in error is because you don't know the scriptures. For God's plan from the beginning was that he made the male and female. Okay, that's the first thing you need to get in order to understand this. God made them male and female. You're not something else. We're not talking about feeling, we're talking about what you are. As I said recently, if I claimed to be a piece of broccoli, it wouldn't make me one. You can't redefine what you are and expect everybody else to go along with your psychosis, unless we're talking about the American government. Okay? So, God made them male and female, Jesus said, and God said that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two should become one flesh. That's what God said, as we are reminded by our Lord Jesus. Homosexuality does not fit with God making the male and female and saying that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. The word for wife is not neuter. It's not masculine. It's feminine. It only applies to females. So you got a man and a woman becoming one in accordance with God's plan, who designed us with complementary parts. So to suggest Jesus never said anything about homosexuality is a lie. Now, the Apostle Paul, speaking God's word to us, says it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Please notice, this is inspired by God, and notice the way he says it. He says you should avoid it. Avoid it. Avoid it. Sexual immorality. That means the expression of sex in a manner that is not in accordance with God's design. Okay? What have we taught you? Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. If it doesn't fit that definition, it's immoral. Now, how far do you want to stay away from immorality? Well, how far can I go? Well, if you begin to see sin for what it is, nasty, disgusting, deadly, then let me ask you, how much would you like to avoid vomit? Well, I don't know. I kind of like being close to it. No, you don't. No, you don't. You want to get away from it. That's the way you're supposed to view sexual immorality. You don't see how close you can get. Well, is this okay? I had a guy who called me on the phone when I was pastoring on Cape Cod. Called me on the phone and he said, are you the Baptist preacher? I said, yes. He said, I have some questions for you. He said, I'm from the Boston area. I'm a member of Thus and Such Baptist Church. And he said, but I'm working down here on Cape Cod for the summer. And he said, I've started getting in situations, and I just want to be sure that what I'm doing is normal. And so he began to describe various situations to me in which he was engaged in questionable behavior, not really totally crossing the line, but here was his question after he'd describe a situation. He'd say, is that normal? I'd say, yeah, that's normal. And so then he'd tell me about something else. And is that normal? I said, yeah, that's normal. And he said, let me tell you about something else. And he told me about something else. He said, is that normal? I said, yes, it is, but I want to point something out to you. You've asked me repeatedly about various things, and your question is that normal? And I'm telling you, yes, it's normal, but you need to know normal is going to hell. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. You have not asked me one time, is that a good thing? Is that pleasing to the Lord? Is that what God wants? I said, you're supposed to be living a life in order to please God. That's how this chapter starts. If your goal is to fit in and be like everybody else and get along and be liked and be popular and be part of the world, you need to know where the world is headed. The world is headed to hell. They don't need one more person to join the party. God calls us to holiness. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that is set apart for Him, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. Let me repeat something Paul says here. Learn to control your own body. People will say all kinds of things to rationalize their behavior. Let me tell you something. You need to learn to control your own body. Don't let your body tell you what to do. I just can't help it. I'm just overcome. I'm with desire. Control it. Train yourself for godliness. You don't have to do whatever you feel like doing. I sometimes speak of the fact that one of the areas where I am most conscious of the need for self-control is in the area of what I eat. Because I know that I have the not only the capacity, but the propensity to eat more of certain things than I should. And if I don't say no to those desires, I will rapidly gain weight. I've done it before. I don't want to do it again. I have fought that battle day after day after day after day, year after year. Because I know what happens. Now, we're not all supposed to look the same. We're not all supposed to be identical. But we're all supposed to be living in order to please the Lord. And part of living to please the Lord is learning to control our own bodies. And the way you learn to control your own body is practice. 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 In other words, you got to say no to yourself. Repeatedly. Because you and I all have desires that are contrary to God's will. And so we've got to learn to say no to ourselves. The hardest person for me to say no to is me. And that's just the truth. So Paul says, each of you should avoid sexual immorality. You should each learn to control his own body in a way that's holy and honorable, not living in passionate lust. In other words, doing things just because you want to, you have a desire to. No. You need to say no to that. The heathens live in passionate lust. They don't know God. That's why they're not living to please him. And then he says, verse 6, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we've already told you and warned you. How is it somebody else's problem if I'm doing something sexually immoral? Because what you are doing is messing up the relationship that they could have with that person that would be holy and pleasing to the Lord. And so we're told that God will punish such sins. For God did not call us, verse 7, to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. You're a very loving church. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. We go back to the metaphor of people working out in a gym, becoming stronger with practice. You keep adding weight. You keep adding reps. You keep getting better at it. He says, you already love each other. You're known for that. You need to do it more and more. Then verses 11 and 12. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Publishers Clearinghouse has told me that someone in my zip code is going to win the prize. I figure it's me. There's just, you know, thousands of people in the zip code, but nevertheless, one day I got an email that said it's going to be somebody with the initials JW who wins at least $1,000. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I suddenly won millions of dollars? I could quit work. No, I couldn't. If I was given millions of dollars today, personally, Publishers Clearinghouse comes with balloons and the whole nine yards. I was practicing. Come with balloons and the whole nine yards, and they, you know, hold up a big check and the camera's there, and I'm going, be so exciting and be so wonderful. I'd still have to keep working. Why would you keep working if you had millions of dollars? Because I'm not doing what I do for money. Amen. I'm doing what I do in order to please the Lord. I want to serve him. I want to do what he's called me to do. If the reason you're working is for yourself, you are wasting your life. But if you will make it your ambition to do things that provide for your support so that you can be a witness and a blessing, that pleases him. So, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, remember that you've been called to holiness and focus more and more on living a life that pleases him. But I want to say to you who are not yet my brother or my sister, repent and believe the gospel. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. Because God's wrath will be poured out on this earth. And if you are not in Christ, you will be destroyed. So I plead with you, while you have the opportunity, put your trust in Jesus. Run to him and beg for mercy. Ask him to save you. And he will.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.